Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I always get so nervous.
I know. I'm just like,
oh no.
How do we start?
How do we do this? And then one of us says some dumb shit and I'm like, okay, there it is. We're back.
Pretty much.
And we're back. And lucky you.
Lucky you. Good choice. Tuning in to Smell You Later to learn all about the smells.
Our successful podcast.
Our very successful scent podcast.
Can you believe we're out here doing this and the girls are listening?
Can you believe?
Can you believe we're on, how do I even say this? Who Weekly's beauty conglomerate on Facebook?
That's right.
Shout out Who Weekly. Is that what it's called, right?
They're
like
called Who Weekly, but they have like a name for themselves, I think.
Oh, I don't know all that. But you're listening, so thank you.
Even when I'm not on Facebook. Yes, I am.
Girl, I'm not on Facebook. Get me off of there.
Or should we say
Meta? We support Who Weekly. Oh, yeah. Fuck Meta.
Yeah. Meta, get out of here.
God, it's literally the beginning of the end.
Honestly, yeah. Mark Zuckerberg. He should have just called it like Mark Book. Mark's website.
God.
Like Craigslist. It's Mark's site.
Not much better than Meta.
Should we announce the winner of our giveaway? Should we just start with that?
Did we announce the giveaway?
We announced it on Instagram.
In the most like flippant way possible 2 episodes ago. We were like, we're gonna give you some shit anyway.
I mean, we get a shit ton of fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get repeats of stuff we have, why not spread the love?
Half the time it's like, I didn't want the first one.
But it's like, why not spread the love and also ask for compliments?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We love compliments. So yeah, we have this Boy Smells 6-piece exploratory set, the Kit Découverte. You know, I actually realized that the reason that there's always French and English on beauty products, at least where we are, is because they're for the North America region, which includes Canada, in which French is an official language. So they have to put it in both languages.
Oh, I just thought it was glam.
I just thought it was glam, too. I just thought it was like a weird elitist thing. Like,
and now we know.
How come the French get it? Like, how many French people need to read this? And now I get it because Canada. So
we're learning new things every day.
Learning things. But I was like, if they really wanted to make an impact, like, why didn't they put it in Spanish? Like, most people speak Spanish.
Right. It's a miss.
Yes. Anyway, so we posted on our Instagram 2 weeks ago, and y'all delivered. I wasn't, like, planning on doing any data mining, but it was just very interesting to see the episodes that people liked and gravitated and like, remembered.
Not data mining. Sable is now Mark Zuckerberg.
It's the most valuable thing of the future is data. Think about it. Data is going to be the currency of the future. Like, forget crypto. But I was floored at how many people loved the Bath & Body Works episode, the Luca Turin episode. A few people mentioned Don't Spray Your Dick, a deep cut.
These are all, I mean, every episode is my favorite.
Yeah.
But these are all really good ones.
Yeah. Oh, and a lot of people love the Smell You Later award show.
Period.
Which I'm very pleased because we worked moderately hard on it.
I think even moderate might be generous.
We worked on it, okay?
But we had a lot of fun and that's all that matters. We're all having fun here, okay?
It's all for fun. That was like one of the more fun episodes I think done, like that I had fun making it.
I wasn't sure. When I pitched that to you, I was like, this is going to go one of two ways.
No.
And you loved it. And because I know with you, like the kookier, the better.
Yes.
So it's like, I think this is our way in.
And we were just like texting each other bad shit category names.
The absolute dumbest shit.
I know. I forget some of the ones that didn't. I think like all of them made it in. We're just like, yeah, we'll just do it.
Yeah, we're not going to tell ourselves no.
No, of course not.
It's what the rest of the world's for.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Sable, who was our winner?
Okay, so it was very difficult to choose because they're all very good comments, I should say. But one that stood out the most for detail and depth and emotional impact was by username Keeny Kate. And I shall read the comment. It says, "The Rodrigo Flores Rue episode lives rent-free in my mind to this day. His conversation with his dad about feeling like he wasn't contributing anything by being a perfumer, and his father's response that you cover the smell of death, making the unfortunate parts of life a better experience, was so beautiful, especially as he embarked into a creative field that often feels inessential. Definitely almost made me cry a few times." And you know what? That comment almost made me cry.
Rodrigo the God, dude.
Yeah. I am also, I cry at everything, so it's like really easy to make me cry, actually. So,
really? Whatever.
Yes. If I'm watching a show or a movie and there's like a cinematic score swelling, I'll get misty-eyed. I don't know what it is, man. Yeah.
That's every so movie, funny.
Even if it's not said, every movie, there's like a moment where I will cry in, or just get like emotional. And I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Wow. I am like not a crier. Like,
I know. You never cry.
I like never cry. And I'm not, that's not like a badge of honor or anything. I know like it's good to cry. I know like boys do cry, contrary to what you've heard. But it's like not how my body processes like sadness. And so I'm just like sort of, I don't know, stone-faced all the time. I just like, I don't get teary.
Yeah. But I feel like I cry almost like despite myself. So part of me is like, I'd probably be a really good actor because I could totally cry on cue. And it wouldn't even be a stretch. It'd just be like a sad thing is happening. And then I would just like think about it for a second and be like, a sad thing is happening.
You're always already like halfway there anyway. Just
pretty
like,
much,
you know,
yeah. It's like right below the surface. Right below the surface. Right. Just scratch that itch for me. Anyway, Keeny Kate, we will DM you and ask you where to send this lovely discovery kit. And
oh shit, I have to send something else out. I have to send another fragrance out. Fuck.
I also have to figure out a way how to like mail stuff without like having my home address on it. So.
Oh, just fly. Oh, that.
Oh, just lie.
I was talking about like, no. Cause they, whenever I'm mailing fragrance, which is like all I mail, they're like, they will specifically ask me. They're like, so there's no perfume in this, right? I'm like, no. You know, it's just like a box of loose perfumes just jingling around.
You talk to a person? I just like do the click and ship stuff.
I don't even. No,
it's like when you go on like USPS.com and then you like and then you make a shipping label and you print it out, you pay for it online.
With what? A printer? It's 2021. Yes.
I have a printer. It came with the 2007 or 6 MacBook when I went to college. It was like a free printer with MacBook deal, and I still fucking have it.
Oh my God.
And it still works.
Abacus? Jesus. Yes.
It still works, baby.
That's wild.
I know. It's really clunky and takes a lot of space, but I'm like, yep. The only thing I use it for is literally just printing shipping labels for like stupid Depop shipments.
I mean,
like, and returns when I return things that I bought online. That's literally all I use it for.
Well, yeah, hit us up.
Or we'll hit you up. I'll figure it out. Yeah. Ta-da,
huzzah. Sable almost has her sense of smell back from not having COVID, but being sick.
Dude, okay. I don't know if this is like an experience that other people have when they're like kind of congested or have a cold or getting over cold, but taking a walk outside opened the portal of smell and flavor back. I don't know if it was just like airflow, like getting out of my apartment, like the air pressure or something. But just as soon as I like went outside to take a walk, I was like, oh, I can smell things. What? And I was still like a little sniffly, but I could smell through it. I was like, what's going on?
The flavor.
The flavors are happening. Yeah, it was incredible. And then like when I went back inside, I could still like smell things. But then it like kind of, I just like went back to being like a little congested. And then like,
it's so weird.
Now I can't smell as much. I can sort of taste things again, though. So thank God.
Good.
Yes. I wasn't
amazing. I'm glad you're on the up and up.
Yes. Thank God. I will say it's been only like 5 days, which I don't know if that's a long time or not a long time to get over cold. But for me, it feels like a brief amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody takes cold seriously. They just power through it. They still go to work. They still go to school. And I'm like, don't fucking go to work and spread your germs to your coworkers.
Ew. Has this shit not taught us anything?
Yeah. But like, I remember we used to do that and it was normal. And I was like, no. Now if like someone did that, I was like, how fucking dare you bring your germs into this environment with other people? That's so disrespectful.
Honestly, like, you were all so nasty pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Ugh.
I'm embarrassed.
I remember feeling bad if I had a cold, like I couldn't ask for time off or like I couldn't work from home because they'd be like, oh, it's just a cold. It's fine.
I cannot imagine a world in where you are afraid to ask for anything, especially time off.
You know what? Those were early days and now I know better and I have no masters. So.
I love that. Like I said, my boss today was like, Tynan, you have to take some time off. You have to take a vacation. And I'm like, so I'm getting fired. And he's like, no, you've been working like a dog. So
does your PTO roll over to next year?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay. Because it's like nearing the end of the year. So if you have 2 weeks, you're like, bye, bitches.
I'm also, if anyone from my office is listening, I'm joking. This is just an expression. I'm not like keeping track of my PTO. I just like ask for it.
Oh, so, okay. Oops. That's fair. Yeah.
Right. Well.
Anyway, everybody take your PTO because you deserve it.
Exactly.
Also, fuck work.
Fuck the man.
Yeah. Jobs. It's so in 2019.
Meanwhile, I can't stop working.
Dude, I don't know how you do it. You have a full-time job. You like regularly freelance and you do this podcast.
And
I write 2 emails a day and I'm fucking done.
Lately, I have been like, what am I doing? Like, not that I don't need the money. I just like, I don't take all these jobs for all like the money. I just like, yeah. And I'll like work all day and I'll get home and I'll like pop open my laptop again. I'm like, what am I running from? You know, like what's going on here?
Yeah. What is this impulse?
And there's also that very big project that I can't talk about yet.
Oh, yes.
Can't talk about it yet.
You be able to talk about that?
Actually, probably by the time this episode drops, I probably can.
Really?
It's already announced. I can talk about it now.
You can talk about it now.
Let me give it a week.
Yeah. Go on. Like, break some NDAs. Let's do it.
Something cool is in the works. Something cool is in the works.
Yes.
Or whatever. We're excited. But I will say that never mind.
You're like skirting around your NDA and I'm just like, I love breaking a contract.
Same. If there's one thing I love more than signing an NDA, it's breaking it.
There's nothing more fun. What is it like breaking an NDA is the most fun a girl can have
without taking off her clothes? Is that it? I think we're going to different places with that. Yeah, I think mine was a Fall Out Boy lyric.
Maybe. Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Get ready for it.
I'm ready.
Because I am like, this is such a, I'm having a moment with this fragrance that I'm wearing. And I tried to talk about it a few episodes ago, but I forgot what I was trying to reference. And it was this fragrance. So I'm actually going to talk about it now. I am wearing... What am I wearing? It has a fucking number next to it. What is it? Invite Only Amber 23.
Oh, you got that.
From Kayali. Yeah. And Kayali has been really pulling up this year from one of my favorite scents of the year, Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper.
Yes, STPP.
To Utopia, now with Invite Only Amber, to our iconic episode with Mona Catan. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've just really, really, really been doing it and doing everything really well. So Invite Only Amber is, of course, an amber. And it's supposed to be like very sexy, very sensual, very mysterious. And it is like all of those things. But I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without saying it, but it's a good thing, but it's also a weird thing. There's two things.
Okay.
Actually, let me just run down the notes first, because I know that we go back and forth. Sometimes we say the notes, sometimes we don't. I want to say them this time because everything in it is just so beautiful. And like, you're going to want to wear this. So Invite Only Amber starts, the top is black cherry, honey, tobacco leaf, a chocolate hazelnut accord.
It sounds so yummy.
It's so good. The middle is rose, centrophilia, absolute rose, damascena, I don't know, those are, and citrus leaf. I know there are two different types of rose, and the base is oud oil, firm niche musks, amber resin. I don't know how to say, I never know how to say this. Benzoin?
Benzoin.
Thank you. Sorry. I also fragrance podcast. Sandalwood, patchouli, and vanilla. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
It's fucking everything. But it's, doesn't that all just make so much sense and you want to smell it together? It is so good. Okay. But okay. So that being said, I mean, it is warm. Has a lot of depth to it. It's very woody. It's almost smoky. And I know that we don't gender things in this house, but as the fragrance world is historically gendered, I do want to say that this, I don't think Kayali also genders their fragrances from what I'm seeing right now. At least they don't, which like, shout out to them. Their ads are very like feminine, which is fine. Like the face of the woman,
it's good all for them. Mona, yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, like the scents themselves, they don't gender them. The bottles don't really look gendered, whatever. Invite only amber. If you didn't tell me anything different, I would think it was a masculine. Like I would think it was like a cologne. It doesn't read like a cologne sound, but like it is.
Right.
But like in a really good way. You know how like a lot of women wear Old Spice? It's giving
that.
And honestly, Sable,
I want it.
It is very close. Not very close, but it is surprisingly close to like my original favorite fragrance. The fragrance that made me fall in love with fragrance overall when I was like 15. The original John Varvatos.
Really?
And I love that fragrance down. And so when I smelled this, I was like, wait a minute. I mean, this is more going on. It has more breadth and it's just more beautiful. But this is like an evolved version of that, but one that sort of calls back to it, were it to be the original. It's not, but it is. Anyways, Invite Only Amber is gorgeous. It's stunning. It's like got so much depth to it. Like it is more like textural and like woody than it is sweet almost, because it does have a lot of sweetness in the build, but it is just such a beautifully balanced scent. And it's just one of those things that I'm just so happy it exists. I don't know.
God, now I want that. I feel like that's probably like the me Kayali fragrance.
Oh, you know what?
Sounds it probably like the most is. Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
yeah.
did they send that to me?
I had to call this one in. I was like, hello.
Okay, yeah. I know. I was kind of just like, when I saw it, like being teased out on their Instagram, I was like, ahem, hello.
Like, I'll get that. Turns out.
Yeah. I know. Turns out, who the fuck am I? Nobody.
No, but I don't know. I've been wearing.
Keep me humble.
I mean, I've been wearing Kayali. Yeah, right. I've been wearing Kayali a lot this whole year with STPP at the Newtopia with such a beautiful scent. But I also, like, I came to their vanilla earlier in this year, then came back to it because it's just such a stunning vanilla.
Yeah.
It's also maybe one of my favorites of the year, even though
I know you really love that vanilla.
I really, really love that vanilla.
I love their musk too.
Yes. Yeah. Kara does too. Kara loves that musk actually.
It's really good.
Anyways.
It's a very good musk.
Once again, this is a Kayali household. Shout out to our girl Mona. She's family.
Sup, Mona. We're coming over.
We're coming over to Dubai.
Yeah.
Sable.
Yes.
What are you wearing today?
Well, perhaps a bit similar to that, I'm wearing Commodity Velvet Bold.
Velvet is so good. Yes.
The original Velvet was one of my favorite commodity scents. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was going to love the like two other scent-based iterations, but the Bold version is even better, if you can believe that. If anyone's familiar with Commodity Velvet, it's hard to explain. It's smokier. It's like a fine wine that's aged well. Like it smells
really stunning.
Expensive as shit.
Uh-huh.
It smells like the hallowed halls of, like, I'm thinking of a really, really rich estate where everything is cherry wood and mahogany and obviously velvet, which is like so plush and sumptuous and just very wealthy, not in like a stodgy way, in a very intense, almost. Like, it's almost like Clue. The movie Clue.
Is that the one with Adam Sandler? No, I'm thinking Uncut Gems.
Yeah, no, different scent. Yeah, different movie, different scent. Yeah, if you think of, like, a mansion murder house, but, like, with very fancy, wealthy people with a secret, like, that's what this fucking smells like. I smell like a wealthy person with a secret, and that's all I want to smell like. But yeah, it's seriously, it's so plush and luxurious, and it's kind of, it's like smoky and like a little resinous, I suppose.
Isn't there a heavy dose of rose in it too, or am I making shit up?
I am not sure. I did not look at the notes. They also don't they don't really line out the notes as, I don't know, I feel like they skip a lot of spices. Let's see. Commodity velvet bold. Velvet's deep notes of vanilla, rose, and amber of velvet are made even darker with a dense overdose of patchouli and labdanum.
So once again, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Labdanum is something that shows up in a lot of scents I like, but smell nothing alike. So it's very mysterious to me, but yeah.
I need to smell this in the worst way.
You do. They also call it a rich, opulent, oriental blend.
Oh, like, no! Come the fuck on.
No commodity. Back away.
We know better.
Back away.
Oh, you know what? I was gonna say that I don't know that what I'm wearing would fall into... Actually, I think it would fall into... I'm wrong. Never mind. Go on. So when commodity was originally popping, velvet was not part of the original collection, but was introduced later.
It was later, correct? Yeah. It was one of the later ones.
I remember that, like, that did really well, and a lot of people were talking to me about it, and then they fucking went under. So, like,
yeah. Yeah. A lot of the later ones, like velvet, orris, leather, I guess they were a little edgier than the originals. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then they sold. So, whoops.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved velvet. And I actually remember going to a commodity event, I think when they were launching velvet and another one, and the perfumer was there. It's Jerome Epinette. I thought it was a different guy. Oops. And I met him, and I remember at the event, I was wearing Byredo Velvet Haze. So I was like, oh, that's so funny that I'm wearing a fragrance called Velvet Haze, and this event is for a fragrance called Velvet. And he was like, oh, I made that one too.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was just like, oh, what? Like, this dude's all over the velvets.
My first question would be like, okay, so what's your net worth?
Right?
Yeah. You know?
He was very sweet. Now, like, I feel like I'd approach fragrance events so differently, like meeting perfumers, because now that I know the names of more perfumers for stuff, I would just be like, yo, this guy did this and this. It's like meeting like a famous athlete.
Right,
like,
right.
This is his like stats.
That's not the problem. The problem is now they know our names, and it's like, fuck, what did they make and what have I said about it?
Know? I think they know that like they make so many fragrances, like, and they're so different that, you know, not everyone's gonna love everything, and that's
also
fine.
They don't give a fuck about what we think.
I know, we're not signing
their checks. Nor should they.
But yeah, velvet is amazing. I love the regular, the OG velvet, which is I guess what commodity calls the OG scents expressive. That's like the neutral. Yes. But the bolds, baby, they're so, I think like all of the bolds in general are like my preference.
I need to find that discovery set because I got it and then promptly lost it.
Yeah, go dig it up. Oh. Yeah, they're so good. They send me a couple other full sizes, so I'll be working my way through them. Also, what's interesting is that on their site, they only sell fragrances in a 10 milliliter or 100 milliliter. There's no in between.
Yeah, that's like, you're either going to try it or you're going to get it.
A 10 milliliter is the size. So it's like a travel vial. Yeah,
right.
Which is not an
substantial amount, but it's also like, give me a 1 ounce, please.
Right. I feel like, there should always be a 1 ounce. If not a 1.7, a one.
Going from $30 to $145, that is a little prohibitive. I'm sorry.
It's 20, I know that we, it's 28 to 125. Or wait, are some of them priced?
I'm looking at Velvet Plus, and it's...
Oh shit. Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize they were priced differently by the scent space profiles. Oh. And the Velvet Personal is 105. That's interesting.
Jesus. I know that we talk about expensive ass fragrances all the time, but it's like, eek.
I don't know if they should do that.
I don't think some, but say the bones of it, they shouldn't.
Because I feel like price does reflect like a value thing to the consumer.
Yep.
So So it's confusing.
And it's like, if you're telling us that you didn't just water this shit down two different ways, which I know you didn't.
They are
all different
scents.
It sure looks like it from the consumer, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, because they are all different scents. So.
Right.
I wouldn't be opposed if they made all of them 145, just like make it consistent. Because I do think that the $40 difference will definitely cause people to like change their mind about stuff.
I love being an economist.
Yeah. Economics with Smell You Later. What does that sound? Do you hear that? Do you hear like a...
No.
I feel like I'm delaying or something.
I don't think so. Wait, when I tell you that before we hopped on, my apartment's very quiet, right?
Yeah.
There were people... When I tell you, fucking it's somewhere around me.
Oh. So
I thought someone was being murdered. And I was like, I'm with it, but I have to record. And it's like, I was like, this is the day. This Wait. Like Sable has a motorcycle gang and a loud dog. And
do you know like which direction?
Tantric sex. It sounded like it was coming from my kitchen.
So like on the other side of that wall.
Yeah. Or maybe it was like above it, but it was close.
Is your building like a new building?
It's like a old new building.
Okay. I was like, all these new condos are built of cheese. So
no, it's
like,
not the cheese. It's not the styrofoam ones.
Okay. No. Yeah. I feel like I've rarely ever heard people fucking in my tenure in New York City. It's rare. Maybe I just live around a lot of sexless people. I feel like I've been the one that people have heard, actually. So, whoops. Sorry.
So we're going there.
I remember when the last time I had a roommate and we got along really well, and our bedrooms were on the other sides of the apartment. Like the living room was in between the bedrooms, but like it was like those really cheap doors that were hollow.
Mm-hmm.
So like even if you shut the door, you could hear anything. And then one time she was like in the living room watching TV. And then I like was with the person I was seeing at the time. And then midway through, I heard her go into her room and I was like, sorry.
Oh.
The next morning, I was like, sorry if you heard sex. She's like, it's Whatever. Cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you my companion story this because it's particularly deranged. So never mind.
No,
I'll tell you. I talk about sex on this podcast enough. I'll tell you this a lot of time. This is,
Okay, fine.
Sorry. Sable, who do we have on the show today?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about her guest.
Same.
I met her the other week at an event because it was like an art opening for these candles, like candle sculptures that were, the show was called Notes on a Burning Dollhouse. And they were candle sculptures of like dollhousey things. There was like a bed, a grandfather clock, a little cake, a Mary Jane shoe, and like a dollhouse. And they were all like scented to smell like those things. So it was really cool because like you could just go up to the candle and like smell it. It was kind of like the aesthetic of, not to like be disrespectful to the artist, but like it was kind of like a claymation-y or like celebrity deathmatch aesthetic, you know?
Okay.
Of like sculpture. It was cool. It was a really cool exhibit. And I'm like, more exhibits should be scented because this is fun.
That's awesome.
That also might have been where I got sick. Who knows? Just like so many people sniffing the same shit. Maybe. Too much sniffing in close quarters. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we met at the event. We hit it off. And then I was like, come on, podcast. Literally, like pretty much that was it.
And now we have her.
Yeah. But I remember... I knew of her. I was like cognizant of her. She's like one of the very few indie perfumers I am aware of. And she had done a couple collaborative scents with one poet and sex worker, Rachel Rabbit White, and also with another sex worker, Lara Rue, who came up with a book called, it's a memoir called Whore of New York. And the fragrance is also called Whore of New York, which is incredible.
I love that.
I was like, I love the idea. Wearing a fragrance called Whore of New York.
I haven't heard the word whore in so long.
I know. It's so like antiquated almost. The fragrance smells so much like Tom Ford Lost Cherry. So I flipped because I love Lost Cherry. And then, of course, again, I was like, tell me everything about this fragrance and then come on my podcast.
Right.
Yeah. So
I love that.
So now she agreed.
Well, I cannot wait to talk to a contemporary indie perfumer who is a young, cool girl like us.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited to have her on the show today. So maybe we should just get to it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Work.
My name is Marissa Zaffis, and I am a perfumer living and working in New York City. I'm originally from California. I trained at Givaudan, and I have a master's in anthropology.
Very cool.
Like asking you like it's a question.
Yeah. I love when people's studies don't line up. It's like not a linear path to where they are. Right. I love that.
Because when do they ever, you know, like when does it ever
happen? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so true.
And Marissa, we start every episode off with the same question to our guests, unless we forget. What do you smell like today?
Oh, this is not really like great, but I smell like this old bathrobe that I'm wearing right now.
I love that.
I smell like probably a mixture of like Dove soap and some black tea.
Ooh.
I like that.
Sable, you'd wear that.
I would wear that. It's very like grandma vibes, which I'm into.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Very. So what I think is really cool about what you do in your career is that I sort of liken it to almost indie musicians. There's the like mainstream label artists, and then there's the cool indie artists who are doing interesting shit and aren't like tied to corporate asks or demands. Do you consider yourself an indie perfumer?
Yeah, it's so funny. This is like the first question. And I immediately was like, this is a really, really good question, because it's actually something I think about and feel a little bit conflicted about, because I think my first impression when I think of an indie musician, I guess maybe you're right. Like there is the sort of super talented just musician who does whatever they want. But I also think of kind of just like someone with a banjo. And for me, like part of what I really enjoy, and I guess some of my greatest inspiration for my own work has been commercial fragrances. And I love like mainstream perfume, not so much like of today, but definitely like throughout the 20th century, the perfumes that I'm most attached to and derive the most inspiration from are, you know, I would say like Paris by YSL, and definitely, you know, Shalimar and Afre Lande, like early Guerlain perfumes. And so in a way, I don't really consider myself an indie perfumer, because I, first of all, had more of a commercial training and background. And I studied perfume classically. And for me, that's really important. You know, I analyzed the formulas of the perfumer that I studied under. And I was also a classically trained ballet dancer in sort of the first part of my life. Yeah. So for me, I really kind of subscribe to technique. And before, you know, they say like before you can break technique, you have to like master it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I don't even really, I mean, the career of a perfumer is so long that I honestly don't even feel like I'm at the point where I'm really like pushing technique. I think that I work still very much within the confines of what I've learned. And definitely, I think like in each perfume, I do something different, but I'm not really like at a super experimental stage. My perfumes, I think I do make perfumes that can smell very commercial and do smell commercial, but I also have the capacity to do kind of like just crazy things. I just, you know, when I think of indie perfumers, a lot of the smells that I, you know, I'm reading about and seeing are more conceptual and kind of like, you know, like this perfume represents like a cold, like a worm on a cold rock or something. Mm-hmm. And like, that's just like not, those aren't really the, I make those kind of smells more conceptually for shows and for, you know, like Notes on a Burning Dollhouse, which I saw you at Sable, but yeah. And more, I would say I do more kind of like indie work in spatial settings, but as far as like perfume for bodies, I think maybe just because my own personal preference are fragrances that really wear well on the skin and kind of evaporate in a more classic way, like, you know, top notes, heart notes, face notes.
Right.
I really like a sense of, I don't know, like choreography and movement. And I think a lot of self-taught perfumers who I totally respect, like so much, just haven't had them just like on skin. Sometimes the scents themselves fall flat. And for me, dynamicism is really important.
I love that. Wait, can we run that back real quick? Can you just talk more about, I love how you said choreography and movement and fragrance. Like, I understand what you mean with like top heart and bass notes or whatever, but can you just talk about your idea of choreography and movement within scent?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, for me, when I wear perfume, I love, and when I smell perfume on other people, the way a fragrance interacts with the body is what makes it come alive. And I think choreography, like, I don't know, it's not just about the perfume, right? It's like also about who's wearing it. But it's important for me that a perfume wears well and wears in the way that the client wants it to wear. So, and to have control over that. So if a client wants a scent that is, you know, sits very close to the skin, that's something I can do. If a client wants a scent that projects really far, that's also something that I can do. And I just think, yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that does. I just wanted to hear anything more about that. So that definitely answers it. Thank you. That's so cool. I love that, like, the idea, I mean, I know, but I've never heard a perfumer talk about controlling, you know, the throw of a fragrance, especially as requested by the client. That's so interesting.
That is, it's like engineering.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, everybody has such personal, like, when clients come to me and want a perfume, like, they'll tell me all of their favorite smells and everything. But then there's always the question of, like, but how do you want it to wear on your body? And I think we all have such unique preferences regarding that, that it's also very, very important. And a smell can be amazing. Like, I mean, honestly, if you've smelled opium by YSL, just like diluted to like 2%, it's like the most gorgeous smell in the world. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's like, it's just very, very strong. And I think because of that, it puts a lot of people off. So these types of things can really, really make a difference.
That's, I see, so that. Yeah, I definitely feel that, because so many people who think they don't like perfume, it's just like, no, you just don't like really strong scents.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Or really floral, or whatever you think a perfume is.
Exactly. You had a really interesting story about how you got into the fragrance industry. Can you tell that? Tell us about that. Was fragrance something you always wanted to get into?
Yeah. Well, I think that in this country, you know, we don't really, a lot of people honestly don't even know the word for a perfumer. Like, I very frequently get asked, like, is it like perfumist or like perfumer? And I'm like, it's perfumer. But like, yeah. So I think like, we don't even really, the career of a perfumer in this country is so not really known about. Whereas like in Europe, like in France, you know, there's a word for perfumers, which is Lene, you know, like, mm-hmm. So I just didn't like know about it, but I was on Fragrantica, which was my like website of choice. And I was like,
yes,
yes. Like, we love Fragrantica.
Yeah. Like really, really young, and just reading about perfumes. And I was totally obsessed. Like when I was 13, I got Baby Doll by YSL. That was like my first perfume.
That was such a hot girl scent when I was a teenager.
Still is.
I don't see it around as much, but I remember it.
Yeah, they actually discontinued it.
No.
But if you like it, yeah, Baby Doll has a really interesting history. Basically, it was based off of this other YSL perfume that came out earlier called In Love Again.
Yes. I have that.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like kind of what Baby Doll, if it were grown up, like would be. It's so beautiful. Okay. And that was actually done by Jean-Claude Elena, like, early days, but the formula was too expensive for them to reproduce, and so they I think this is okay that I'm telling you this. The Baby Doll, they came out with Baby Doll and they stopped In Love Again, but then they discontinued Baby Doll and they relaunched In Love Again, like pretty recently.
Oh, wow.
I think like within the last few years. Yeah, you can get it at like Bergdorf. It's beautiful.
Wow. Do you think the formula is the same as the original?
You know, I heard that it's not, but it still smells good to me.
Yeah. I know that happens a lot because, you know, some ingredients get phased out for like safety regulations or something. Or you're right, it's like too expensive to do.
Yeah. So basically, like, I just always loved perfume. I was always really obsessed with it from as long as I can remember. And I just, I didn't know about the career of being a perfumer. And then I wound up, I don't know, I had I've always had a really kind of wild trajectory. Like, I dropped out of high school and then I didn't go back to college until I was in my late 20s or to college. And then I basically went and loved it and then went straight into a master's program. And so, which I graduated from when I was 29.
Damn.
So, yeah. So, in anthropology, and it was at the New School. And during my studies, I was looking at the history of cemetery construction and how cemeteries moved from centers of cities to the outskirts, and just kind of how that shift also symbolized it, like a greater shift in how we thought about death and how death was perceived of basically like in the world, because prior to the French Revolution, people were always buried in, you know, either their backyards or churches, or, you know, it was cemeteries were everywhere. And then after the French Revolution, they were Père Lachaise in Paris was the first cemetery to be built on the outskirts. And it was built because all of these kind of like bodies in the ground just became a health hazard, and they were, you know, poisoning the sewer system and everything. So anyway, I was looking at all of that and I thought it was super interesting that perfume, as we know it today, like this idea of oils mixed with ethanol, like came about right at that very moment. It was, people were started scenting everything to, you know, mask these foul odors
I love death strikes again,
right?
So people have been using essential oils and incense since the beginning of time, but really this idea of like oil with alcohol that came from that moment. And, you know, it was the French Revolution, it was Marie Antoinette, and it just became a big thing. And so I started just reading about the history of perfume and doing some research about kind of like the industry today. And I was like, whoa, like I've started learning about all the fragrance houses. And I wound up getting a job as a receptionist in one of them. It was like a temp receptionist while I was finishing my master's. I was intending to go, I really wanted to do a PhD, but anyway, so I got this position. And then right as I graduated, I was applying to PhD programs. And there was actually, I had developed kind of this rapport with Olivier Gilletan, who became my mentor. He thought my research was really interesting. And he was always kind of like asking me questions and I was asking him questions. And he's older. He's one of the older perfumers there. And also one of the very few perfumers today who really like takes the time to work with an apprentice. A lot of them just don't really have the time and they want someone who's just strictly an assistant for them in the lab. So there was a spot to work for Olivier because his past apprentice had gone on into the perfumery school. And, you know, he was like, you should apply. So I applied for it and I got it. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is what I want to do. Like, fuck everything else. So I just jumped in the lab and I worked very closely with him every week. He was giving me smell tests. And then I left Givaudan in 2017. When I was about 31, and I really, which is honestly like a pretty rare move, but I wanted to be able to do the kind of projects that I'm doing now that I wouldn't have been able to do if I had stayed in the corporate world.
I understand that. Right. As a former also person who fled a corporate world, I totally get that.
Okay, I'm like deeply in the corporate world right now, so that's not like...
You know, wait. I do miss it sometimes, so not
I
even
mean,
gonna lie.
Yeah, I miss the healthcare.
Oh my God, me too. I miss my acupuncture being covered by my insurance.
Oh yeah, totally. I miss that FSA account for sure.
Yes, oh my God.
You mentioned a smell. What is like a smell? Are there like smell pop quizzes or just like, what is the smell test like?
Yeah. There are. So yeah, basically like you blind smell. So I had like a big olfactive toolkit and with all the raw materials. First I learned the naturals and then I learned the synthetics. And you just have to, like, I would spend a couple hours every morning before work just closing my eyes, opening a little bottle with my hand, dipping a blotter in, and then smelling it and having, you know, to recognize it. So, and then Olivier would like quiz me on, you know, 10 or 20 of them at a time.
Wow.
Wow.
That sounds very daunting.
You know, it was like equal part grueling and dreamy, to be honest.
Oh.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, wait. I know this is idiotic, but like, it's so interesting to me to think about having memorized something that you can't see, if that makes sense. Like having to memorize something olfactively and having no visual, reference to it.
But smell is, you know, the most closely tied to memory.
Tied to memory. Sure. Yeah. I guess you're right.
In a way, I'm like, maybe it's easier than like a traditional test where you memorize like facts and dates.
Yeah. I fucked all those up too. So
it's trippier. It's like sometimes if I would like forget a smell, like, okay, so there's this one raw material that I always forget, green mandarin. There's like green mandarin and yellow mandarin, and I had a hard time differentiating between them. But whenever I would smell green mandarin, I would think that like the inside of a tomato, of like a can of like tomato paste. Like, oh, really weird, like, yeah, not really even like related to green mandarin. Yeah. But like when I would smell it, like that would be the image. So I'd be like, okay, obviously that's green mandarin then. So a lot of it is just like associations that don't necessarily make sense, but are for whatever reason, like personal to your, like, you know, unconscious or like,
yes.
Yeah.
That was a tip I learned in that Netflix show Explained. They have an episode about memory and like people who can memorize these insane amounts of facts and numbers. They're like assign a certain personal anecdote to it, and that's how they remember them. So checks out. That tracks.
That's wild.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you had any kind of standout moments or like unexpected lessons that you learned in your apprenticeship.
Well, the one that always comes to mind was someone would like asked me if I was ovulating, and I was I was like, why? And then they were like, well, because you smell better, like you're able to smell better when you're ovulating. They were like, you should schedule your test when you're ovulating. I actually think that it's true. Not like markable, not like a lot, but like it is, like I can tell, I don't know, I'm better at smelling when I'm ovulating, I think.
Wow. It's like, well, they say like pregnant women have an extra sensitive sense of smell. So maybe there is something related to there, perhaps.
Wow. I think there is for sure. Yeah.
I've never noticed that. I'll have to clock that. I'll have to like pay attention to my cycle.
Once again, I'm left out. Yeah.
Don't worry, Tynan. One day you'll get yours.
Perfumes that you work on, I've only, I think, smelled one that Sable had on her last time I was over, but they're their own little worlds. Yes. You know what I mean? Like they're
like
so full of
a novel in a fragrance. Yeah.
Right. Like I feel like they have their own references like within themselves and within your other work. Like how do you approach fine fragrance? I know that's probably like a large question to ask a perfumer, but what, how do you think that you have a signature approach?
I guess, I don't know. I think I'm very, very inspired by like vintage, like Schiaparelli and sort of a lot of the perfumes of the early 20th century, as well as like the marketing and advertising and storytelling that went along with them. They're just so creative and always kind of were not divorced from what was going on like politically or like socially. And they were very, you know, avant-garde, you know, even down to the bottle design, like, you know, Dali was making bottles, like was an artistry, glass bottles. And now, you know, I think sort of because of the like Lalabo aesthetic, like that's not necessarily what people want. And so I think I would, you know, I don't know. It's like, sometimes I think I should be clear with kind of like my angle. I think I want to really just bring the full spectrum like artistry back to back to kind of like, not necessarily like that time, like we're in our time right now, but just bring something different to it. I feel also like, I think a lot about gender and fragrance as well. And I don't know, I feel a little bit conflicted about like a lot of like gender neutral advertising in this way, because I feel like for me, at least, and a lot of queer people, like gender play was something that was actually really important in perfume. And I also tend to feel like a lot of these perfumes that are marketed as gender neutral smell just very, honestly, like sort of vaguely woodsy.
Yes, they all smell like a hotel lobby.
Yeah, which for me is like, I mean, it's honestly kind of misogynist. Like, it's like wood. They're just like woodsy, you know, like in that act of claiming to be gender neutral, they're actually like ascribing gender to raw materials themselves, like roses, and then just leaving them out. So
good. So point.
I don't know like really the way forward in this moment. So all I really know how to do is like make perfumes that kind of like move my clients and like move me. But yeah. I don't know. Scent preferences. Scent preferences are weird. Like people, I don't know. Like I used to work in a perfume shop, which I think is really important for everyone to do at some point in their lives. And like people would constantly just come in and be like, I don't want anything sweet, you know? Yeah. And then like walk out with like absolutely the sweetest perfume that we sell.
Right.
So like people don't, I don't know. It's weird.
People don't really know what they want to until it's like presented to them.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Yeah.
Sable and I talk a lot about gendering fragrances, both the gendering of and then like the ungendering of or whatever. And I mean, she and I, of course, will just swear whatever. But I mean, I this is not a loaded question. I'm sorry, but it sounds like it is. But what would be your approach to gender as it relates to fragrance? End of question. Like, would you would you address that at all? Or do you just make fragrances and let them rock? Like, how would, in a perfect world, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I think my strategy really has been to just make perfumes that I think are like, I mean, this sounds kind of cliche, but like inspiring. And most of them tend to be like, most of the smells I think would be construed as like very feminine, and the branding is, you know, pretty like maximalist. And then just like anyone who wants to wear them should wear them. But I would never write like, I would never write like for women on my site. But I just find like that aesthetic more personally appealing. So anyone who wants to like get on that train should, you know?
Yeah. Totally. No, absolutely. Yeah. That's so interesting to me that you brought that up, that like the baseline gender neutral fragrance, it's like, instead of moving towards the more prescribed feminine, they just removed the prescribed feminine notes.
Yeah.
And they made everything like a little bit more friendly to like people who have masculine preferences.
Gross.
It's like, why does, I was like, wait a minute, why is it that direction? Like,
Yeah, I've never thought about that before at all.
Because now,
go ahead.
Because now it sounds like instead of being gender neutral, it's just like not too girly.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's everything, from the fragrance itself to like, Marissa, you said the bottle, the branding, like all of it. It's like, oh, we're just going to take everything feminine and also all personality out of this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hate it.
Exactly. I know.
Me.
Like even like men's perfume, like Schiaparelli, I think did this, like she did a few like men's perfumes and they were like so crazy. Like the bottle, like there was the one, the bottle was like a guy in like a red shirt with like really broad shoulders with like a cane, just like the craziest bottle. Like if you're gonna do like, if you're gonna do a men, like why does it have to be, it doesn't have to be boring. Like you can do a masculine perfume and not have to be boring.
Right. That makes, well, men are pretty boring. So
yeah. That makes me think of like the Jean Paul Gaultier bottles, that it's just like a chest, like a man's chest or like a woman's like figure. Like, okay, it's really hitting us over the head here. As you mentioned before about leaving a corporate environment to work to have more freedom, what are the sorts of paths you think perfumers can take like post-training in those two directions? And what sorts of projects do you think that like you would have been more keen to take had you stayed in a corporate environment versus like the types of projects that you like doing now?
I think once you've been trained in, so I actually had my training cut short where I was. If I had gone through with it, then I would have actually had to sign, would have been like basically an 11-year contract with that company.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's so long.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't continue. Yeah. And I continued my studies basically like on my own, but with some other mentors, and still partially like I would, you know, ask Olivier some questions if I ever had them, and he was definitely there, but it's hard when you're not in the company anymore. Right. So most perfumers who are trained, all perfumers who are fully trained, like they usually don't leave the commercial houses because they are very well taken care of. And it's a really, just to be trained is like, they get hundreds and hundreds of applicants a year, and they basically choose like two people for fine fragrance. So it's highly competitive. Yeah. And
damn,
but you know, if I had stayed, to be honest, would have been for the next 30 years, primarily working on clients like
designer houses and stuff.
No.
Oh.
probably like a few if I was lucky, but mostly probably like lower end, like I just don't want to say the names of them, but like
fair enough.
just like, you know, mass produced, like body splash, like
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I was really lucky to study with Olivier because he was older and he worked on a lot of really amazing designer projects. In fact, and he refused to work on any of these, you know, other ones, but he had the authority to do that. But for, you know, a junior perfumer or even a regular perfumer, if you're a regular perfumer, you're lucky if you get like, you know, a perfume that's like going to be in Macy's. Like, it's just very not creative. And actually, the thing that really pushed me over the edge to try and go on my own was like somebody in the company that I was working at said to me, like, if I could have, he was like, with someone with your passion can make more of an impact on the industry from the outside than from the inside.
Mm.
And because the industry is just very, very overrun with the same people who, you know, this is why, like, in my opinion, advertising, fragrance advertising, I mean, it really needs like a glow up. Like, it's like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yes,
best,
it does.
The best thing we get is like, what, Adam Driver, Centaur? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, right, I mean, at least right. That's like kind of weird, you know, but like, it's like, it literally hasn't changed since like 1981. Like,
yes.
The ads are still just like naked white people on horses. Like, yes. I don't understand. Well, and I do, and I know why. It's because the same people are doing them and have the authority to like approve or, you know, I think like, you know, brands like Tom Ford, they are edgy and like pushing things in a new direction, but it's like still just like naked bodies and ads, which is like fine. And we like, you know, we like that, I guess, but it's like, there's just so much more potential. Like, perfume is literally this invisible thing. Like, advertisements can be fucking anything. Like, why are we still doing the same thing? It blows my mind. It's say like that. Also people are like hungry for like, like weird
newness,
newness, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
If anything, I feel like that is more likely to change more quickly now because everything in beauty is shifting so quickly now. And I know the fragrance sector apparently had a big pickup on the later end of the pandemic because people were just so hungry for experiencing smells. And maybe that was the genesis of the Adam Driver commercial. They're like, let's go fucking balls to the wall.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
I just like, even sort of, Marissa, this is sort of fishtailing off something you said, but even with things getting cooler and weirder, it is sort of like, okay, let's make it as over-sexualized as possible or nothing, like pictures of palm trees and just pack shots of the bottles, you know? There's, because I like that Adam Driver spot because it's so fucking weird, but he is still like, it's extremely over-sexualized, but it's like, I guess, show me something that's not just a very prescriptive photo of the product itself. So it's like, you know, I don't know, man.
It's still a naked man and a horse.
Right.
Fundamentally.
Exactly.
And a naked horse man.
Right. as an artist and a perfumer, can you talk a little bit about like what a collaboration looks like to you? Because I know that you've collaborated with a few people for like limited edition scents. How did they come about and how did you know it was right? And, you know, for you and the fragrance?
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like you never really know if something's like right, you know, like yeah. There's always like, for me, the people that I collaborate with are usually friends or people I know like tangentially.
I mean, I feel like being a perfumer is a pretty solitary job and experience. How does a collaboration come into your world? And then what does it look like once it does?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. So usually I create a fragrance in the collaboration sort of the same way that I would create a fragrance for like a custom for a client. I ask them a series of questions just about their scent preferences unrelated to fragrance, and then also kind of do like a thorough like history of their favorite fragrances. And then, as I said before, just like ask them also about like how they want to wear the fragrance, like where they want to wear the fragrance, just all of these questions. And then we start a series of like back and forth where I will create a mod and then, or two or three, and then send them, or they'll come over and they'll smell them and kind of like pick their favorite and we'll talk about it. And then I'll create like a new batch of mods, and this can go on like literally forever.
Yeah.
Like I have some, like I had one client, I had like 75 mods.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then, yeah, but then I have some that it's like the second one is like perfect. So even one where it was like the first one, so it really, really depends on the client. But I would say usually it's about like 15 rounds.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a lot of work. And then, you know, it's just a question of like, if it's just a custom perfume for someone that they order from my site, it's like, I'll give them one bottle. But then if it's a client who wants to then sell the perfume, I can fill 200 bottles in my lab here. But if it's more than that, then I basically have to like outsource it to another place and they have to pay for that too. So, yeah.
Wow. I guess I don't know what I expected, and maybe it was that, but that seems like a gigantic undertaking to make someone else happy.
Yeah. 15 yeah. rounds.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It's a lot of work. That's why like, you know, a custom fragrance on my site is $2,000, because it, you know, and that's actually like if you shop around like for custom perfumes, some of them are like $14,000.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, I think like the only one I can think of is like Krigler, who does like a truly bespoke fragrance, and I don't think it's less than like 20 grand.
Yeah,
like, I think it's like a car.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So wait, if you did have someone who came to you and wanted like yeah. like a large, right? If you had someone who came to you and wanted a really large order, like you said, and you had to outsource that, how does, as a perfumer, how does quality control look to you? Like, what if it has it ever come back and been wrong? Or, you know, I just can't imagine working like doing that many iterations and then handing it over to someone else.
Well, yeah. So there's some options. So there are labs like where I like there are a few different options, but like there's this one place where that I like to use where basically like I will send, we sign an NDAs because formulas like always belong to me. Even if the client has like exclusive rights to it. And this is how fragrance houses are too. So like, you know, Calvin Klein, for example, all of these brands will never own their formulas or have access to them. The fragrance houses do.
Wow.
Yeah. They have exclusive rights to them. Yes. They have exclusive rights to them. But this prevents the client from, you know, taking the formula and going and having it made at another
house. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
So,
I can see that.
Yeah. So I kind of do, I operate that way too. So like I will send a formula to, you know, one of these places, have them sign an NDA, and then they will produce the oil. But before they do that, they always like send me samples of it so I can approve it. And quality control is really good. You know, and formulas are very, very specific. So.
Wow. Okay.
That's something I really worry about. Yeah.
Okay. That's just fascinating to me. Eek.
Yeah. I always wondered if there's like, oh, I use this type of violet. And then they're like, okay, we'll use that, but we source it from this manufacturer. And then it smells totally off because it's like a differently sourced ingredient.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there are like, for example, for violet, there are like 100 different violet notes you can use. But each one of them has a very specific, it's called a cast number. And so you have to write the cast numbers in the formula. And so it's very accurate that way.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
This sounds so cool.
I know. For real.
You guys can come over to my lab if you want.
I mean, I would be careful what you wish for.
That. Yeah. You hear like a knock at your door right now.
We're there right now. Yeah, exactly. The call is coming from inside the house. Yeah.
Do you remember the first fragrance that you made?
I do. Yeah. I think out of Dubidon for like a year, and I was spending a lot of time in Paris just because like I have friends there and free places to stay. And I was trying to also raise money, and I was networking and stuff. And I was reading about Madame de Pompadour, who, you know, was like a member of the Court of Versailles, and she had this like insane annual perfume budget. Like she was like, I think she was like a courtesan, and she asked for like 70. It was like basically what I think is equivalent to $70,000 a year for perfume.
Wow. Yes, girl.
I know. That was just like, I need your spirit to help me. And so I like looked up where she was buried, and apparently it's like an unmarked spot by this like kind of rundown church in Paris. And so I literally like looked up the coordinates of like where she's supposedly buried, and I left her like a really elaborate offering, and I told her that I was going to make a perfume for her. And then a month later, like it was a very small batch. Like I literally made 30 bottles of this Madame de Pompadour perfume that smelled like plums and violet, and I like sold it on my Depop.
Cool.
And yeah, that was the first perfume I ever launched, and I feel like she blesses everything that I do.
And she definitely does.
100%. I love that. Oh my God. 70 grand for perfumes a year.
Holy moly.
I know. Jeez. It's crazy. I can't
wait. The dream.
Yeah. Although I feel like between the two of us, we probably have $70,000 worth of fragrance.
Between the two of us, probably each one of us.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, like, knowing, so sort of, you know, now being in it and being a perfumer and being successful, et cetera, what would you say to someone who wants to become either, you know, a major perfumer at a major house or do what you do and sort of go the indie route? What would you say to them?
Oh, that's so hard. I guess I would just say, I mean, first of all, I would say never let someone tell you no. You know, even when I was, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of speculation about me actually being sent to this school in Paris just because of my age. Like, apparently they had never sent someone over the age of 30 before. So it's very hard. It's a very hard industry. I would just say don't give up and you'll find your way. You know, there are a lot of smaller houses too, so you don't necessarily have to try and get into one of the big ones, and just keep knocking on doors. Like if you really want it, you're going to get it, but you do have to like devote your life to it. Like it has to be 100% what you really want, because it is very, very difficult to get a training as a perfumer. But it is possible. You just really have to, as Kris Jenner says, like, not take no for an answer.
Totally. Queen Kris Jenner. Wait, how did you know then that it was your calling and it was absolutely what you wanted to do? Like, it sounds like so much fucking work. And like you said, you came in it from a different space than a lot of other people did. How did you know it was going to be worth all this?
Honestly,
I guess you never really do, but.
I think you never really do. But as soon as the opportunity presented itself to work in the lab, like there was literally no question in my mind. I was like, oh yeah, this is what I was meant to do. I want to be a perfumer. I'm going to be a perfumer. And I had never said that before to myself about anything. Like I never said to myself, like, I want to be an academic, like, or like, I want to be X, Y, and like, but in my head, I was like, I want to be a perfumer. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. Like, that's my thing. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just know.
And when you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think like right now, what I would really like to do is start working with brands that are really interesting to me that maybe like don't necessarily have, you know, a budget of like $1 million, you know, like L'Oreal to work with one of the major houses.
Yeah.
But still want to create a fragrance that has like some mass appeal and that they can sell, you know, quite a bit of bottles of, because I have the capacity to like fill a lot of bottles, like a lot. Like I could fill 600,000 bottles, not like directly, but I could help make that happen at this point. And I have the resources. So right now it's just a question of like getting the clients for me and like putting myself out there, which I don't know, as a Scorpio rising, it's like kind of makes me uncomfortable to be like front and center, but I kind of like have to do that.
Right.
I'm like rubbing my hands together like,
Wait, are you a Scorpio rising too?
No. What am I?
You're a Cancer, right?
I'm a Cancer. Cancer sun.
Oh.
Capricorn rising. So
love Capricorn rising.
Yes. I'm very hardworking and very moody.
Literally all my placements are in Virgo, so I'm crazy.
The fact that you're, that's insane to me. Titan is a triple Virgo.
Oh my God, are you serious? I have so much respect for Virgos.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work being a Virgo.
I have like zero Virgo in my chart, and I don't even have anything in like the Virgo house. So it's like whenever I meet a Virgo or someone with a lot of Virgo energy, I just feel like very much in like awe and wonder. I'm like, how do you like just organize your brain? Yeah. Like, why are you so like sweet? And I don't know, like the comments are always like, their comments are always like pointed and like, I don't know. I love Virgos.
Well, great. Sable, does any of that describe me? I don't even know.
It actually makes a lot of sense. Weirdly, in my entire adult life, all of my close friends have been Virgos. So it's always a good sign to me when I meet a Virgo.
Amazing. Well, we have to come to your lab.
Yes.
I mean, that's like first order of business.
100%.
But yeah, this has been like really fantastic. I'm so happy we got to like sort of meet with a perfumer who I feel like is also a peer, who is also a friend.
Yeah.
It's a very unique and awesome episode. I'm really happy about it.
Me too. I'm so glad. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Dude, of course. And whenever we get some sponsorship money to do a smell you later scent. 100%.
Literally.
Yeah.
I the only thing we want to do.
Yeah. We That's can our totally do it.
Our current scheme is, how can we get people to give us money so we can literally just spend it on merch?
Us again. Horrors of New York.
I would love to see a perfume ad for Horror of New York.
Absolutely. I was actually going to ask her, but we were like so off to the races, but I want to talk to her about like old perfume ads, because I'm sure she has some great references, because I'm obsessed with old beauty and perfume and makeup ads, but I'm sure that she has some good ones.
I love how deranged they seem now, looking back on them. Like, remember Baby Love, like Jovan White Musk or Baby Love? It was like a drugstore perfume.
I know the scent, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the ad was like very pedophilia-esque for Baby Love.
Weren't they all?
It was like, you only have to smell innocent or something like that.
Ew.
Yeah, it was really cringe.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, now we know better sometimes.
Now we know. Are you looking at it?
Yes.
Yeah, the rhetoric for old beauty ads was extremely how to get the guy.
Wait. No, this is it. I'm sending this to you right now. This is bad. We have to post this.
We should.
Somebody's going to jail.
I can't imagine like releasing that now. They're like,
That woman, not to be ageist, but is also 45.
Yeah. she is a fully adult woman. I also have this like theory that people in the past just like aged faster. I mean, I guess they did literally, because like by the time they were 18, they like got married, and then like when they were 22, they like had a house and babies.
And they were all smoking and not getting snatched and yanked like we are today.
Yeah. Oh, ew. It says, because innocence is sexier than you think.
Woof.
Ew. Gross.
I hate that.
This woman's 45.
No, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
We have to post this so people know that I'm being an asshole. So it's just deranged.
It's so deranged.
Can this be our in-feed post? Yes. Marissa would be like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Very misleading, but...
Anyway.
Anyway. That was our episode.
That was lit.
I hope that inspired some of the youths to follow a career path in perfumery.
Yeah, go chase your
fucking dreams. I wish I had done that.
I know.
God, idiot.
I mean, you're doing fine.
Imagine me going to perfumery school now and lying about my age, like in younger, because they won't take a 35-year-old.
Literally.
Like,
I do not aspire to go back to school. I will never
go back to school.
Oh my God. I didn't even want to be a student when I was going into like pre-K. I couldn't get out of that shit fast enough.
No.
And look at me now.
And look at us now. You too can have a stupid degree and make a podcast.
Well, follow our stupid degree and podcast on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at TynanBuck.
I'm at SableToothTiger. And Tigra. I say Tigra because it's easier to get the spelling, but in my brain, I say Tiger.
I think by the time that you type in SableTooth, you're already
there.
You know?
That's true. There's, yep. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Doing the work.
You know what? If you can't find it, it's on you. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, man. I don't care. But like, what I do care about is you leaving us a nice review and 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Do that.
Do that. Thank you. Until next week.
We will.
I'll smell you later.
Smell you later.